Welcome to Faith Out Loud Canada, sharing the Christ who cares together through practical Bible teachings. This is your host, Dan Purdy, connecting you with the pastoral staff and leadership team of Church in the Valley in Langley, British Columbia. Over the next 30 minutes, listen as inspirational speakers apply key Bible passages, parables, and stories to your modern life. Learn to enjoy God's never-ending love for you and to daily accept His greatest gifts. This brief time together will fill you with hope and confidence while teaching you to live your faith out loud. Today's presentation is entitled Building Better Boundaries, focused on Matthew 5, verse 27. Join us now as lead pastor Dr. David Jamieson begins sharing the Christ who cares together through Faith Out Loud Canada.
Restoring weary souls. I believe it's the most important thing we could talk about this morning. Let's invite God to take over the equipment, the pastor, and the parishioners. Shall we do that? Join me. Father God, we love you with all of our hearts. When we think about your love and your goodness and your grace, we are awed. Lord, we need you this morning. In our church, we need your Spirit much more than we've currently experienced. This morning, we pray that there would be breakthrough, that you would touch our hearts, that you would come into our lives and change us, empower us to be men and women and boys and girls who are ambassadors for you before our families, our church, our school, our community, and the universe. We give ourselves over to you this morning, pleading for your presence and your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Restoring weary souls. Last week, the message was entitled Soul Tsunami. We talked about the fact that we live in a world today that has an insane, frantic pace. We talked about how the tsunami swept over the 23 countries of the Indian Ocean in a matter of seconds and nearly 300,000 lives have been lost. And then we mentioned the fact that though we may not be aware of it, there is a soul tsunami sweeping over our world today, and many millions of people are going to miss out on their spiritual destination simply because they are too busy. Last week in the message, we talked about 5 points, 5 things that we shared that were signs of soul fatigue. The signs of soul fatigue, first of all, are a sense of being constantly rushed. Secondly, the signs of soul fatigue was a difficulty making decisions. Thirdly, a surplus of information and a deficit of wisdom today. People have all kinds of information, but are we living wisely? And then fourthly, a superficiality in our relationship with God. And fifthly, a decreased ability to love. If you experience any of these symptoms of soul fatigue, it's time to ask God to bring about a change in your heart and in your soul. It's time to ask God to restore your soul. Because Jesus says there is a better way. He said in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus says there is a better way. Last week we talked about four solutions to soul fatigue. The first one, based on the 23rd Psalm, was give your life to God each day. Make the Lord your shepherd. The second solution to soul fatigue was to go through life content. If you make the Lord your shepherd, you shall never be in want. Live a life of contentment. The third solution to soul fatigue was to take time to rest and to reflect. He makes me lie down in green pastures. We talked about how a little child is whining and they're tired, and a parent has to make them lie down and take a rest. God is wanting to do that for his children today. And then fourthly, we need to practice being still and silent before God. He leads us beside quiet waters. Even though we live in a world that has so much noise, God is calling us to pull away from the noise and to spend time near Him beside quiet waters. How many of you can stand this morning and say that you accepted the Psalm 23 challenge and you spent time listening through or reading through or meditating on the 23rd Psalm during the past 7 days? I said I was going to ask you. Now I'm asking you, please stand if you were able to fulfill that commitment. I praise the Lord. I know that I have received, and you may sit down, I've received emails, telephone calls, and people have bumped into me and told me how much of a blessing that was to them. Do you realize that 95 to 100% of the people stood up to that appeal last week? And how soon a day trickles by, and 2 days and 3 days and a week trickles by, and we forget, and we fail. And God says there is a better way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Do you want your soul to be restored today? I want my soul to be restored. Restoring weary souls. Many people today find that they have an out-of-control soul. Do you have an out-of-control soul? Are there just not enough hours in the day? Do you feel that you are an 11th hour person and you're just going from one deadline to the next? That the day is getting by you? In fact, every day is getting by you so that you're behind schedule. Do you feel that you are the type of person who doesn't have the words early or on time in your vocabulary anymore? Do you feel that you would like to say, it is finished? My work this day was finished. But the reality about it is that you know that you're going to wake up tomorrow and the exact same thing is going to happen. You're going to run behind schedule all over again because you have an out-of-control soul. Sherry had an out-of-control soul. It was 6 a.m. in the morning. The alarm clock buzzed and she quickly hit it. And she looked out of her bleary eyes and it was another day. And she said, God, what do you have in store for me today? I dread this day, God. And she just lay there in bed and stared at the pillow and stared at the walls trying to get her bearings. And while lying there, she knew why she dreaded the day, because her 9-year-old son, Todd, had been in trouble at school, and she knew at 4 o'clock she was going to have an appointment with Mrs. Jean Russell, who was his 5th grade teacher. And she knew what was going to come. While she lay there, she thought of the evening before and how she was trying to sew a school costume for 6-year-old little Amy so that she could be in the school program. And she had planned to get it done, and all of a sudden the doorbell rang and her mom came over. And she said, "Mom, I really got to sew this costume. Do you mind if I sew this costume while we talk?" And Dad had died, and Mom had been living a martyrdom complex ever since. And she said, "What do you mean? I've come over here to visit you, and I just want some quality time with you, my daughter, and you're telling me you're going to sew a costume for your kid right now. Can't you do that some other time? I want just some time. You know, I'm lonely." "I'm sorry, Mom. I can sew that costume any old time." Now she knew she had to sew the costume between now and 7:45 when the kids would head off in the carpool to school. And so she dragged herself out of bed and she took a shower. She began to settle into the day. She did the very next thing that she needed to do, and that was to make breakfast. For you chippers, this is the typical North American breakfast. She made breakfast for the kids. She tried to have some chit-chat with the kids, but it was just, time was just flying by. It was already 7:30, and day after day, it seemed like they never made it outside for the people who were picking them up for the carpool. The people would be in the driveway blowing the horn. They'd have to come and ring the doorbell, always for her two kids who just couldn't seem to get out the door on time. Fortunately, on this morning, the kids made it outside on time. And Sherry managed to get into her car, and Walt got into his car, and he went to work. And as Sherry was driving to work, she did what many women do. She was putting her makeup on, finishing putting it on, while driving through the traffic and just muttering to herself, "I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late. I know it. I'm going to be late. And there's a staff meeting this morning. The president is going to be there, and I'm going to be late." She got to McAllister Enterprises where she worked. She was a fashion designer. She parked her vehicle. She ran up the stairs, and sure enough, she got in there, and the meeting had already started. She tried to sneak into the back of the room and do so as inconspicuously as possible, and all eyes turned towards her and looked at her, and she muttered something about, "Oh, the crazy traffic today." She made it through the meeting because she was a talented designer and a very valuable asset to the company, and they overlooked many things that were happening in her out-of-control world. And the day wasn't going too bad until 11:55 a.m., just 5 minutes before lunch, her cell phone rang, and it was her friend, or not so much of a friend, Lois Thompson, on the line. And Lois said, "Oh, I'm so glad I caught you, Sherry. Oh, my life is a disaster. My husband's car broke down. My kids are causing trouble at home. My life is a disaster, Sherry. I need to talk to someone." And as Lois was on the phone ranting through her spiel, Sherry thought about her own life. And she said, "Lois, get a life. Mine is the same. I'm hanging in there. What's your problem?" And she began to realize that Lois was the kind of friend who would call only when she felt there was an emergency. Sherry began to realize that if she began to talk about herself in any way, Lois didn't want to hear a word. Sherry knew that Lois was a friend who was a friend in need, not a friend indeed. She spent the next half an hour on the phone with Lois and missed half of her lunch. So now she had to drive to get some fast food burgers. And while she was eating the chicken burger, she said, "Why did I do that? If I could help Lois, I would have helped her during these past 20 telephone calls, but nothing changes." Sherry made her way back to work that afternoon. Everything was going great. She knew she had this appointment at what time? 4 o'clock with Mrs. Jean Russell. It is 3:54. The school is just a few minutes away. She's probably going to be late. But as she's going out the door, her boss, Jeff, says, "Sherry, wait a minute. I need you. Please come into my office." And he says to her, "Sherry, listen, I am so far behind on this project that we're doing for the Kindle organization. And I just need some help, Sherry. Listen, I need you to do just a little bit of editing and writing on this project proposal for me." And Sherry muttered to herself, "I gave him all that information 3 weeks ago. What on earth is he thinking? I can't do that. His little bit of writing and editing is legendary around the office here. It'll be 3, 4, 5 hours work for me for sure if I do that. I can't do that." But out of her mouth, she heard the words, "Sure, Jeff. No problem. What time do you need it?" 9 o'clock tomorrow morning will be fine." Sherry grabbed the stack of papers and went to her car and drove to the school. She got at the school. She planted herself down in front of Mrs. Jean Russell. And Mrs. Jean Russell looked at her and said what every teacher says. She said, "Todd is a bright boy. He seems to do well in many of his activities here at school. He especially likes sports. He's real energetic. He's a bright boy." She seemed to be struggling to get to the point. "She's a bright boy. Yes, come on, but..." She was waiting for it. "He doesn't listen at school. He's causing troubles. We ask him to stop talking. He keeps talking. He starts to throw things around the classroom. And when I discipline him, he has a temper tantrum right there in front of all the kids. There's got to be something wrong." To which Sherry blurted, "And maybe he has ADD. And they said, "No, we tested him for that last year. That's not his problem." And Mrs. Russell struggled as she looked into Sherry's eyes and she said, "Could it be that there is a problem at home? Could it be that there is a problem at home?" And in her own mind, without saying a word, Sherry began to say, "Yes, there's a problem at home. Every time I try to discipline Todd, he throws a temper tantrum too. He doesn't listen to me. Make no wonder he doesn't listen to you." To which all of these thoughts caused a flood of tears to flow from her eyes as she thought about her boy being in trouble. And Mrs. Russell gave her a tissue, and she tried to compose herself, and she said, "My husband is never with me at these meetings. He's always busy working. But we'll take care of it. We'll speak to Todd tonight." Sherry got out of there as fast as she could, and now she was driving in rush hour traffic on the way home, but this was like salvation for her. "Oh, traffic. There's no one with me, just me and my radio, my quiet time, no one to bug me, no one to..." But finally she made it home, home to her beautiful home, and there was no dinner on the table. Walt hadn't even come home yet. The kids had come home on the school bus. Amy and Todd were there in their rooms. They were playing. They were fighting. They were doing their thing. And so Sherry began to do what many working moms do. She began to make the evening meal. And at 6:30, she screamed out for the fourth time, "Dinner is ready. Will you come?" You see, often the food was cold when they ate it during the evening supper hour. She couldn't understand why. She knew that she was a good cook, and she knew there was nothing wrong with the food because the three of them inhaled it in seconds, even though it was cold. But why wouldn't they come when they were called? So they were there eating, and all of a sudden the phone rang. And Sherry said, "I don't want to answer it. Oh, but maybe I should answer it. Maybe it's someone who needs me." And so she quickly ran over and got it. just before the answering machine would pick it up, and she said, "Hello, Sherry speaking." "Hi, Sherry, this is Phyllis from church." "Oh, I'm so glad I caught you. You know, the women's retreat that we're having this weekend, well, Marge happened to cancel out on me, and I need someone to help coordinate the women's ministry program this weekend. Oh, please, Sherry, can you do it for me?" And Sherry thought to herself, "I can't do that. I don't have time. I'm out of control." But somehow, even though she had a no in her mind's agenda, out of her heart and out of her throat came the words, "Yes, Marge, I'll be glad to help." "Oh, you're a lifesaver, Marge," said to her. Marge said, "You know, I make sacrifices like that all the time for the church. I guess that's what it's all about. We are to be living sacrifices, aren't we?" To which Sherry said, "I guess so, Marge." But in her mind, she knew that's not the kind of life that God was calling her to lead. Immediately after supper, ladies, you want to guess what happened? What happened, ladies, immediately after supper? Where did Walt go? Monday night, football. Planted himself by the TV. Where did Todd go? 9 years old, got to the telephone and the internet, MSN. Amy, she'd always wondered about Amy. Amy seemed so reserved. Amy seemed to be having difficulty communicating about anything, about stuff. Amy had gone to her room, and Sherry stood there by the kitchen sink with a stack of dishes. She thought about her world, and for the next half an hour, she washed the dishes from dinner. 8 o'clock. What did she have to do? Jeff's proposal. Walt is watching TV. Kids are getting themselves ready for bed. They come in for a kiss. They go off to bed by themselves. And Sherry is writing Jeff's proposal on the computer for the next number of hours, all evening long, until 11:30 that evening, she crawls into bed. And she says, "I am a weary soul." And she thinks about her wedding day and what a wonderful, wonderful day that was, being married on the beach in the tropics to Walt. And she thinks about how now they hardly have even any time to talk. How they fight back and forth over the simplest little thing, and how Sherry has to give in to keep peace in her home. She comes to the end of the day and she's staring at the wall. What is wrong with this picture? What is wrong with Sherry's world? Sherry has been trying to do everything right. Trying to do well in her marriage, in her job, in raising her children. Trying to do well even in her relationship with God. But Sherry has an internal boundaries problem. Sherry has a lack of boundaries in her life. And woman or man here this morning, you and I can identify with Sherry. Make no mistake about it, she is not the only Christian in our world today who is suffering from an out-of-control soul, from a lack of boundaries in her life. She is not the only one being swept away by a soul tsunami that is going to take millions of people in the wrong direction, that is going to cause millions of people to lose their soul. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is a boundary? A limit, Mr. Pierce. A boundary is something that defines us. A boundary is something that differentiates or separates you from someone else, your stuff from their stuff. A boundary gives us a sense of responsibility and a sense of ownership. A boundary can be anything from a fence to a sign to a wall to a border crossing to a moat with alligators in it. That's a real good one. To a hedge to natives with spears. All those things are boundaries in the physical world. How about in our personal worlds and our spiritual worlds? The number one boundary that you have in your personal world is your skin. Your skin defines who you are. It differentiates you from someone else. Anything that is outside your skin is not you. That's why when someone irritates us, we say they are getting under my skin. Our words are our boundaries. Jesus said, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else comes from the evil one. Our words determine boundaries in our personal and spiritual world. What else? The truth of God, the Ten Commandments, the Bible. The Bible has many boundaries for us. The truth is a boundary marker in our lives.
Join us next time for the exciting conclusion to this presentation by Lead Pastor Dr. David Jameson. We certainly hope that today's message demonstrated God's powerful love for you and encouraged you to seek a deeper relationship with Him. Perhaps you are struggling with something in your life with which you need help. It could be your finances, your job, a relationship. Perhaps it's an addiction or something else that you're concerned about. Don't miss the opportunity to call on Jesus to help you. The pastoral staff and leadership team at Church in the Valley can help you have a dynamic, personal relationship with God and show you how to be of service to others in your community. Check out our free online resources at churchinthevalley.ca. Our popular audio and video archives are only a click away. This is your host, Dan Purdy, thanking you for sharing the Christ Who Cares together with us. Until next time, share your faith out loud, Canada.